plant friends, Samantha, the founder of the well-known plant brand Hemleva, is truly the real deal. She is so freaking smart. She's kind. She's generous. She's honest. And she has built her business with such integrity and hustle and grown a thriving botanically inspired product business that I constantly marvel at. And today we are lucky enough to be joined by Samantha to learn about how she got to be where she is now. I've been lucky enough to have gotten to know Samantha offline for over a year now because we have been working on a very special project together. I know, plant friends, it's so annoying when influencers talk about secret projects. It's so gross, but we've had to keep this one secret for a reason. And today we're finally able to share very exciting news with you guys on something we've been working on together. So if you're a diehard listener, you might already know what I'm talking about because I have been leaving little hints along the way. And if not, you'll learn about it more later in this episode and how you can get involved and maybe get even some free stuff. But back to Samantha and Hemleva. She's amazing. We're going to learn all about her and how she's built this planty business, and she's going to answer a bunch of questions that you, our sweet community of listeners, have submitted. So welcome to a very exciting episode of Blue Mangrove Radio. Friends, I'm so excited to share this conversation with you. It really feels like this episode has kind of been 2 years in the making. But after a 2-year wait, I'm going to keep this intro very short because this conversation is kind of long, a little bit longer than normal Bloom and Grow Radio episodes, because Samantha shared so much insight into how she's built her business, how she finds inspiration. There are so many nuggets of wisdom in here that I wanted to make sure our community got. And also, we have lots to talk about at the end of the episode. You likely know Samantha and her brand Hemleva, even if you don't think you know her, because Hemleva is rather famous for being one of the pioneers of these botanical enamel plant pins that you now see all over the internet. She has amazing plant accessories and a robust Instagram account and community of devoted followers. For many of you plantrepreneurs out there, or just consumers who like to learn about the brands that they support, Samantha really gives us a peek behind the curtain of her beginning days as a plantrepreneur and so much more. Plant friends, I'm so excited for this episode. Enjoy it. Without further ado, here is the sweet, charming, smart Samantha. Samantha, over a year in the making, welcome to Bloom and Grow Radio.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to finally have you on. We've been kind of social friends for a while, and I've quietly watched you build this amazing brand of Hemleva from this tiny seed into this thriving product-based company. And I'm so excited to dive in and learn more about your company and you today. You've agreed to come on to talk about how to start a botanically inspired product-based business and give us the ins and outs. But before that, I'm so excited that we're finally able to go public with this project we've been working on.
I know. So it's been definitely like a very hard year in the making of like going back and forth. And it's actually been, I really enjoyed the process because I've gotten to know you better over that time with like our Zoom chats that go on for way too long. we scheduled them for like an hour and then like 2.5 hours later, we're like, we do have things to be done.
We have a work day. Totally. It's been so fun. And Samantha and I can't wait to tell you about what we're talking about. We are going to dive in the second half of this episode. So make sure that you listen to this whole episode because we're going to be announcing this big collaboration we've been working on and some really amazing giveaways that we've put together to celebrate the launch of the collaboration. So stay tuned, plant friends. But before we do that, we need to spend some time celebrating the amazing planty business that is Hemleva and the amazing plant lady that is Samantha, because I've gotten to know you for, you know, pretty well over the last couple of years. And I want our community to get to know you. So correct me if I'm wrong, but were you the first person to make a planty pin?
I absolutely not. I mean, like, so like brooches have been around for like centuries, and like, I believe that some of the first brooches are botanical inspired. So there is a book by the Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, called Read My Pins. And it's a story and celebration of how one woman's jewelry collection was used to make diplomatic history. And it's fascinating. So it talks about how she has an extensive pin collection and how she would wear pins or brooches correlation with the meetings that she was going to have. So it was like almost like a signal or flag of like either preparing herself for battle or like having open arms in meeting these like other diplomats or notaries.
Mm-hmm. Wait, that's incredible. And that's actually interesting because the planty pin fad now that's swept the world, it's kind of our way of repping our inner plant parent when we're in public, right? When you put a little planty pin on your jean jacket or whatever. But this kind of illustrated plant pin fad, I feel like, has gotten really popular in the last couple of years. And you're certainly one of the first artists that I knew, or I kept seeing your pins show up in all of the plant stores that I was in. And that's kind of, was that your first product?
No. So actually my very first product were these handmade brass mobiles, and I still make them, but I don't advertise them because they do take, so like I cut, polish and assemble each one by hand myself to this day. And it takes like such a toll on me. So like at the height of my business, I was getting like carpal tunnel and just like arthritis in my fingers. Like my thumbs are super shot because of all of the brass that I've cut over the years. So like I have Andy cut my brass for me now. Andy's my husband. But I decided that like I needed to find a different product to make because like it wasn't sustainable because it was taking such a toll on my body to like create each of these mobiles. And while I still love them and I still love to create them, like it couldn't be like the end all be all of my business or my brand. So the way that I started with pins is I was looking for a Monstera pin that wasn't cartoony or comical or like too cutesy, et cetera. I wanted something that would be like minimal and timeless, something that like, if I were to be photographed like wearing it 10 years later, I wouldn't be embarrassed to have been wearing it. So I wanted something that like you could wear for like years and years, and it wouldn't be tied to like a single moment in time. So I couldn't find anything that I would be like proud to wear. So I ended up making 100 pins, 50 green, 50 pink Monstera pins in my design. So I actually had to learn how to use Illustrator in order to start my like enamel pin business. The very first design, I had asked a really good friend of mine, she's the best, to vectorize an image for me. And she said, yeah, of course. So she did that for me. But I realized in that moment that it was unsustainable, that like having someone else do that for me, it was just like another roadblock on the journey of creating a product. So I took as many classes as I could online on how to use Illustrator, how to vectorize images. And this is before the era of iPad Pro and Procreate and how much easier that streamlined the process. But I took classes, I designed my very first pin. I had it produced for way too much money because my quantities of 50 per color were way too low to be sustainable. Mm. I sold them at like a slight loss because I was like, I made this for me. I will have my two pins. And if I sell the rest, that's great. Well, they sold out super fast. And I realized like, this was it. This was like the next step for my company.
Oh, I love that. So we dove into your company very quickly. I want to take one moment to zoom out and go back to getting to know Samantha, the plant lady, and why even having a botanically inspired company is important to you. So can you let us know kind of just a quick high level overview of why plants are important to you and how you grew up with them around you?
Oh, I'm probably going to cry. I'm just running here right now.
Go for it. I cry on this podcast all the time.
Thank you. So when I was little, I have distinct memories of being like as young as 3 years old in a stroller, walking through the botanic gardens with my mother and my grandmother. And it was just something that we would do together. My grandmother was living with us at the time, and we had our paths to go as a family. And my mom, grandma, and I, we would just go and walk through all of the houses, all of the greenhouses, all of the, to see all of the beds and all of the new displays and exhibits. And it was just something that we did like multiple times a week. And it was just kind of like where I grew up a little. And like, as I like continued to get older, like my mom, my grandmother and I, we grew like our own vegetables in our yard. And we had plants like filling the house, and we had a downsize to an apartment and my grandmother moved out, but like, we've always had plants in our home, and they remind me of my mother and my grandmother. So like I love showing photos of our home to my mom, who has not visited Seattle yet because I'm pretty sure she's afraid of flying. but like, I love when we have our like Google Meets or our Zoom calls and I show her all of the plants in my collection. And she's like, what's that plant? Or like, what's the one behind that? Mm. And like, she just wants to see them. And like, I see the joy that it brings her and she's not even like here present for it. So it's a way to connect me to my mom, my grandmother, but also to like have them with me, even when they're so far away. And my grandmother has since passed.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And you know, you're not alone in being very emotional about your connections to plants, right? I mean, I have similar memories of my grandma and grandpa who have both passed. They passed when I was young, so I don't have very definitive memories, but my grandma had like this greenhouse attached to her house and it was filled with geraniums. And every time I smell that kind of acidic, almost bitter, like geranium smell, it immediately takes me back to my grandma's house. Like it's amazing. And when I care for my plants now, I do feel connected to her. Like I feel her and she's not here anymore, you know? So it is their plants are emotional. And the more people I talk to, the more stories like that I hear and the more tears of joy and sorrow and connection, you know, that gets stirred up because of that. So thank you for sharing. That's beautiful. And also now you've built this company that gets to honor that connection to the women in your family as well.
Yes.
Oh, they must be so proud.
It's very interesting because it's hard to explain to my mom exactly what I do for a living.
Of course.
she's like not on social media. She has a flip phone that,
oh yeah, I love that.
So she doesn't understand like an online based business or like, she also doesn't understand like social media impact, but I know that she's proud of me and she tells me all the time, which I mean, it's really nice to hear because it's very like where I am today is an extremely divergent path from where like my whole life was leading up to.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I can totally relate. Yeah. My mom, she only can listen to my podcasts when I pull them up on her phone for her, like, and doesn't have an Instagram either. So I totally feel you there. So let's talk about the beginning of Hemleva. I think several listeners wrote in and asked, what does Hemleva mean?
Oh, okay. So Hemleva is my second business name. My first business, when I first started out, it was Handmade Sam Made. Which is very cute. But when I started designing products that other people would manufacture and like whatever that could be, because I didn't want to pigeon myself to just products that I made myself, I decided that I had to move away from Handmade Sam Made because of my moral obligation, like my guilt, my like super ego that like weighs on me, because I didn't want people to think that I handmade every single thing that I ever produced.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I was rebranding, I reached out to a friend of mine. Her name is Frida Clements, who is incredibly talented. She's funny as well as talented. And if you've ever picked up like a Seattle chocolate bar, she designs their winter collection. So like those very cute illustrations. She has like postcards and books. Anyway, so she's a local friend of mine and she's Swedish. And I have been really drawn to like the Scandinavian, Japandi, like minimalist, but functional aesthetic for, I don't know, 15, 20 years now. And I reached out to her to ask her if she could help me come up with a new company name. So Hem means home and Leva means life. And together they don't create a word, but they actually evoke a feeling. And the way that it was described to me was it evokes a feeling of being in a warm, cozy cabin in the middle of the woods. And it's just like that feeling of like calmness and joy. And I was like, this is it.
Sold.
Yeah. I mean, this is what I want my business to be like. No, I want people to see my like company name or my products and to feel like happiness, feel like content or joy. Like I want it to like have a purpose, not just something frivolous.
do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled, or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today.
Absolutely. Oh my God, that's beautiful. I didn't realize that. So it's Swedish. Mm-hmm. Or those words are Swedish. That's the basic, yes. The basis of it. Whew, that's beautiful. So, okay, home life, but the evocative cabin in the woods, cozy, wrapped in a warm blanket vibe, which I think you definitely, definitely give off with your branding and your company. So we're talking about creating a product-based business because we've talked about plant shops. We've talked about entrepreneurs who plant style, but you have mastered the art of the product-based business. So what did that first year look like for you? Did the Monstera pin come first and then Hemleva came after? Monstera pin was still handmade, sandmade?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah. So what did that evolution look like?
So I had four pins like lined up to come out. So it was the Monstera pin. It did well. And then people were saying that I handmade every single one of them. And I was like, no, these are manufactured. Like they are handmade, but not by me. And so that's when I started trying to switch my rebrand and to come up with a new company name. And then my rose gold saguaro pin, which you're familiar with, that was next, the eucalyptus pin and the plant lady's new cat lady. Those were my first four pins.
I love that. And those were under the Hemleva brand.
Yes. Eventually. Mm-hmm.
So what did that first year look like for you? Once the Monstera pin, you did it, you tested it, you had your pins for yourself, you had proof of concept because they sold out. So what did that first year of building Hemleva to be a real brand look like for you?
It was a lot of trusting my instincts.
Okay.
So it was my second year in business at that point. The first year was under Handmade Sandmade, first year or so. And that was all mobiles, air plants, and I still sell the air plants as well. But when I switched over to like product-based business as my focus, it was definitely, I had to come to terms with the fact that like, I will design something because I like it or I want to see it. And it's okay if it fails, as long as I'm proud of the work that I'm producing. And I think as like individuals and artists, we all have a very unique perspective of like, five different people could see the same incident happen and they'll retell it completely differently because even though they were all there, their own personal experiences helped define the narrative that they retell. And so when I approach a plant like a Monstera or like a begonia, like I see it from my perspective as an artist and an individual and a person who has lived a certain life. And then what I love about plants is that like, yes, several of them have like very similar shapes, But what's really interesting is that I love when I can see a plant through someone else's eyes, because like they've painted it or they've illustrated it or they've created something and it's similar, but it's different because you can see the artist in the work.
I love that. From a business standpoint, that first year, was it establishing your LLC? Did you have spreadsheets? Did you have organization and systems, or was it more free flow and figure it out and solve your problems as they come?
Oh, no, no. Andy and I are very by the book.
Okay.
So like, as soon as like I started my business, we looked into all of the tax laws and then we learned as much as we could on our own. So when you start a business, and it doesn't matter where you start your business, but you start your business as a sole proprietorship off the bat right away. And I was reaching a point where I was scaling up. I was getting wholesale accounts and I was selling pretty regularly. Like I was generating income and I was debating whether or not I should become an LLC, which is a limited liability corporation. I was growing to the point where I was like, I want to make sure that like we are protected. So I went to a local small business and development center and I asked for advice. I talked to the head of the department and I asked him like, what should I be? Like, is this the point in time I brought like all of our like income statements that we had like generated and we felt like so professional, we're so young. And I was like, I'm generating revenue. I'm an online-based business. I do in-person events. Should I be? What should my entity be? Or should I go for a corporation, et cetera? And then he stopped me because the entire time he was addressing my husband only, and it's my business, not my husband's. But I encounter this a lot where like I'm being dismissed because I'm a woman or because I'm Asian or my opinions are minimized. And I keep pushing past it. Like I just keep pushing through. So in this instance, I kept interrupting him and asking him my questions over and over again. And then he stopped. He stood up, he took a deep breath, he was silent for a second, and he goes, "What makes you think you are so special that you will succeed?" And like that, those are one of those defining moments where it's like, if you have it in you to push past it, you will succeed. But in that moment, like at a small business development center, like it could crush your soul.
It is literally in the title. They are supposed to help you develop your small business. I just can't believe that that was your experience. Oh my gosh. The plants, were plants the natural step for you with that beginning of the Etsy shop? Was it, did you always know it was going to be plants?
No, actually. So I've been crafty like all my life. I was telling someone recently that my first job, my first business was with two friends of mine. We would sew cosplay costume. If you're into anime, you understand what cosplay is.
Yeah.
And people would send in their measurements and a photo of what they wanted. And we would just make it for them. We were severely undercharging. It was just like a way for us to like be creative, to work together with my two friends and I, and then to like make money. But like I was like wood burning and soldering since I was a baby. Like I was silk screening. Like I have all of my craftivities like listed out on my bio on my website. But like I learned how to crochet when I was like 3 or 4 years old from my mother and my grandmother. So like when I first opened like Handmade Sandmade, it was like everything. It was like all of the stuff that I could make. It was like plushies that I sewed. It was amigurumi, which are these Japanese style crochet dolls. It was like photographs that I had taken because I also learned how to develop my own film when I was in high school. It was just like everything.
Whatever you could sell, it sounds like. Whatever that might be able to generate profit for you, you were thrown up against the wall and trying.
Exactly. So then, I mean, you go with everything that you have and then you find what's more popular and what you want to pursue doing. The mobiles ended up taking off. And like, that's where like I dropped everything off. Like I got rid of all of the noise, focused 100% on the mobiles. And then I just grew my business from there. And then it was until like my body started like breaking down that I was like, I need to find an alternative pathway.
Interesting. And by then the market kind of told you that plants were the way for you to go and follow because those mobiles and air plants were the things that were selling.
Yeah. Plants have always been a part of my business, but like in different forms. And yeah, I'm excited to see what's next.
Thank you for sharing that story. You've got, you know, what an amazing origin story. Talk about you know, hitting adversity up front and showing yourself what you're made of. And I think entrepreneurship in general, man, you just learn that you are stronger than you think you are. Like if you are going to commit to being an entrepreneur, it is not as glamorous as Instagram makes it. It is hard. It is emotional. It is vulnerable. And you do have to just bet on yourself over and over and over again, even when sometimes people are literally telling you no, and that, you know, you're not worthy.
And what's really interesting, and I think you can probably relate to this, it's the idea of like, these are our businesses, but, and they are a business, but they're also a part of who we are because we made them. So like when people say something negative, like you have to stop and you have to pause because like, they may not be attacking you personally. They may be attacking your business, but you still like, it stings so hard that when someone says something negative.
Oh my gosh. When I first started selling sponsorships for Bloom and Grow Radio, I would cry after every sales call I had, like after every call I took with a CEO of a company trying to like pitch these sponsorships, which some of them, you know, some of those conversations didn't go great when I was starting off because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I would just sit on my couch crying after to Billy because it was so emotional. I felt like I was selling myself and I had so many mixed up feelings around it that I really had to work through. And I think women in entrepreneurship, particularly, we have a lot of emotional, or I don't want to speak for all women in general. I'll speak for myself, but also I know a lot of female entrepreneurs who have gone through this too, is like, we have limiting beliefs around what we can accomplish because society has told us that we are limited. And working through those limiting beliefs, I feel like is kind of half the journey of entrepreneurship, of figuring out that you're worth it and that you are valuable and that you are worthy with a seat at the table. I feel like I know you relate to that because we've talked about this, but do you have any other experiences you want to share in regards to that?
I think I'm pretty unique in a way where like, I'm okay with failure. Like I can design a product and I can love it to bits and it will flop. And I understand now with time and age and like being, I don't know, calloused over the years, like if it fails, it is not a direct statement about me, but I do know where you're coming from. And I mean, like I lived it, I was there. And it's the idea of like imposter syndrome almost. Yeah. Like, am I worthy of being in this space? Am I worthy of having this business? Am I worthy of like reaching out to sponsors? And like, what do I have to offer? And the thing is, like, I've always said that if you don't ask for it, you won't receive it. And that's, so you have to bet on yourself. You also have to be willing to put yourself out there and ask those questions, because like worst case scenario, someone says no. And I think that's something that I drill into Andy all the time. I was like, go ahead and ask. Like worst case scenario, they'll say no. Like when he asked for like whatever thing, like at work, I'm like, ask them. People don't mind being asked.
Yep. I've seen you practice that in person with this project that we're going to talk about in a little bit. I've seen you literally practice that. You're practicing what you preach. Another favorite quote I have is Jen Sincero wrote the book, You Are a Badass. It's my favorite book in the entire world. I've read it a million times. And she says, just see what you can get away with. Just see what you can get away with. And approaching things that way, obviously don't be reckless, but see if I could sell the sponsorship, see if I could do the pin, see if this, whatever, like just test the boundaries, you know, which I think is really interesting. So I want to dive into the nitty gritty of how you develop products, because I think a lot of people listening are very curious about that. But before we dive in, I did just want to hit one other thing on imposter syndrome, because we did have some people write in asking, how do you handle the bad entrepreneur days? So when you're having imposter syndrome, when someone's an asshole to you, when something flops, like how do you handle, you know, the tough moments as an entrepreneur?
So this actually goes into like another question that I'm asked a lot. And it's like, what's one piece of advice that you would give someone who's starting out? And it's find someone who believes in you. And oh man, I mean, I should have stayed dehydrated for this. I'm going to get emotional again. But find someone who believes in you, because when the days get long and they get hard and people are rude and, oh man, you should hear some of the things that people like say to me or ask me. It's ludicrous,
wild,
but like, it's horrifying. I was like, who raised you? Mm-hmm. But when those days come up on you, and they will, because you're tired and you've been working for X amount of hours and you're just like, you're pushing yourself so hard, find someone that believes in you, because when it's hard for you to believe in yourself, it's nice to know that someone else is there in your corner, that they're in your, like they have you. And when, like, to answer your question, when something bad happens, find that person, talk to them, and make sure you let them know beforehand that you either are or are not looking for advice, because sometimes you just need someone to hear you. And I think that's like number one piece of advice I could give anyone: find someone who believes in you.
Thank you to today's episode sponsors, Territorial Seed Company and Espoma Organic. Okay, if you are looking for plants for your garden this spring, you got to skip the lines at the garden center, stop throwing elbows in line at your local big box store, and let Territorial Seed Company deliver top of the line, healthy and hardy vegetable plants and seeds right to your door. You've heard me talk about their high quality vegetable plants that they will ship right to you, right to your door. You don't have to change out of your sweatpants, with 100% guarantee. But they also have super exciting new lines for seed starting lovers. I started seeds with them last year and can totally vouch for the quality of the seeds that they produce. If you're an indoor grower and you don't have outdoor space, they've launched in 2022 their Kitchen Counter Collection, which is their selection of vegetables specifically bred to grow and produce in smaller spaces with lower light. So if you've got that windowsill garden you've been yearning to try, this could be a great selection for you. And if you're growing in small spaces, but maybe you have some outdoor space, you should definitely check out all of their container-friendly varieties, like their Butterbush Winter Squash, their Patio Snacker Cucumber, and their Little Napoli tomato. I'm definitely going to try that one this summer. Enjoy the bounty of a home garden, whatever your garden size looks like, with Territorial Seed Company. Whether it's seeds, plants, or even garden planners, Territorial Seed can get you set up for success when it comes to your 2022 garden. And they're offering our community an exclusive coupon code for 10% off. That's code GROW10, GROW10, at checkout at territorialseed.com. Espoma Organic is a family-owned and operated company dedicated to making safe indoor and outdoor gardening products for people, pets, and the planet. Gardening season is upon us, and whether you're growing in-ground, in raised beds, in containers, or indoors, Espoma has your back when it comes to potting media or fertilizer. They literally have a potting mix for everything, no matter how you garden. If you're growing indoors with your houseplants, they've got their general potting mix, their succulent mix, their orchid mix, their African violet mix. And if you're growing outdoors, they have raised bed mix, seed starter mix, garden bed soil, and a fantastic line of organic fertilizers and compost. And to top it all off, they love sustainability over at Espoma Organic. They have 100% solar-powered plant, zero-waste manufacturing, and eco-friendly packaging. So to learn more about the indoor and outdoor products that they have to offer you in your gardens this summer, visit Espoma.com to see where your local Espoma dealers are, or click the link in the show notes to head over to my Bloom and Grow Espoma Amazon storefront for a list of my favorite products. Okay, here's Samantha.
Yeah, I'm crying listening to you talk about that, because that's just something that has been so true for me in some growing pains that I've gone through in the last year. And whew, it can feel so lonely. Entrepreneurship can feel so lonely. And it's so easy to just spin out in your own mind, and having those people, ideally other entrepreneurs. I'm so fortunate that I have an entrepreneurial family. So my dad and my brother are very successful entrepreneurs who have just held space for me when I've been like, I think I need to give up. I don't think this is going to work out. Like, who do I think I am? You know? And also I think our developing friendship too has been so nice, to just be able to have someone be a cheerleader, you know, and be able to see the negative stuff that you don't necessarily want to like be sharing publicly all the time. Or yeah, I think that's amazing advice. I'm so thankful. I also don't feel like that's advice I hear a lot from other entrepreneurs. So I love that. Surround yourself with good people for sure. So now I got to ask the questions that I know everyone wants the answers to. What does it look like? I think a lot of people have ideas for products that they want to create, but I think the execution is confusing. So can you walk us through like the entire life cycle of a new product? You come up, so where do you find inspiration for your products? How do you develop them? And then how do you execute them?
So I'm going to talk about from previous experience, because it's like a vetted process. So for example, like an enamel pin, if I have an idea for a design, the first thing that I do is I try to stay offline when I work on my design as much as possible. I mean, I like to use reference photos, and those are, for the most part, like they're photos I've taken myself of like products, of flowers, of plants, et cetera. And then I go from that. And then I will also do deep dive Google searches to make sure that there isn't something that exists that's exactly the same, because I have this, there's something that like when Madonna was burning Lady Gaga about like her musical style, and she said like her work is reductive. It's like the idea of like, why create something that's identical to something that already exists? And while I don't agree with what Madonna said, because I love Lady Gaga, it's the idea of like, are you adding value to the world or to your life by creating this product? And when you think about like value, people think about like monetary first, but you should also think about the intangibles, which is joy.
Yeah.
Like happiness, joy, memories. There are products that I've made. There are pins that like they evoke specific memories or specific like moments in time that the reason why like I was drawn to like the olive branch was because like a specific instance that like reminds me of a human being or like a moment that I want to treasure. And I found that with like with physical products, other people do that too. Like they see like a poppy and they remember something they lost, or they know that it's for memorials, and
oh, yeah,
they feel the connection of the person through the product. And that is one of the most moving things that I've experienced as an entrepreneur, when people share their memories and their stories with you. But going back to like the process, I order samples. Like I pay for samples. It is an investment in the product.
This was interesting that so first off, let's do a couple of brass tack things. So are you still designing in Illustrator?
Yes.
Is that where you design all your projects?
No, it's not. So I do a mix of Procreate, which is an app on the iPad Pro. And then I do some stuff in InDesign, and then most of it in Illustrator, because you can manipulate images really nicely. And what's really nice about, if you're not familiar with Illustrator, is that you can have vectorized images. And what that means is that regardless of how high up or low you scale it, if you move it up and down, you won't lose any of the quality. So if you were to develop a product in Procreate, the quality diminishes when you resize it. So if you accidentally, like your artboard is too small and you end up wanting to make like an 8x10 print, it'll come out extremely pixelated if you ended up making like a 2x3 image. So the idea with using Illustrator as like my primary source is that it's a way to develop a product that could be scaled up and down and won't degrade over time.
Okay, I love that. So just to recap the ideation creation phase, I love that you mentioned that you try and stay offline when you're creating so you don't have an accidental kind of subliminal thing come in, and that your design ends up truly being your own. I love what you said about adding value in that way, because I think people can really get caught up in Monsteras are popular. I've got to make something Monstera, you know, but it should be something you're proud of and is in your integrity and brings you joy as well. Because if it's not bringing you joy, then why the hell are you doing it? So now this was very interesting that you've shared with me offline. So tell me about the sample process, the actual getting those physical things, and how do you source who you work with?
So online reviews are really important. Like use Trustpilot, Google reviews, like Yelp, if it's a local embroiderer or silk screener, like those are great tools. Word of mouth is also wonderful. Like if you have a friend that's producing something and you're friends with them and they feel comfortable sharing their suppliers, then you can ask them, but you should always preface it with, if you don't want to share, I completely understand. And the reason why you do that is because they've spent countless hours in trial and error, like them finding a supplier, like me finding a supplier, like that's hours of like research and development and trial and error. And I have partnered with some bad people who I'm like, I am never working with you again. And I will gladly tell people who not to work with, but like the idea of like just willingly giving up those resources, giving other people shortcuts that make their lives easier, when like it's a part of the struggle that makes you appreciate your work that you've accomplished. So like word of mouth, recommendations, just Googling. The best piece of advice when I was just starting out was I reached out to Adam JK, he's wonderful. And I think he's one of those people who is very introspective, and other people should hear his words and to understand that he is human and he shares his humanity a lot. And I love that about him. But I reached out to him and he had, he's in a very different space than me, but he had an elephant, and I was like, where do you find your suppliers? And I didn't know him. I came out of nowhere and he actually responded to me. And I'm like, in hindsight, I'm like, wow, like that was like a big win. But he just said, I just Googled them. And I was like, oh my gosh, of course. I'll just Google them. Just Google manufacturer.
You can Google your way to anything. You can Google your way to a successful business. But I appreciate what you say about, you know, not, and you hear that a lot in the plant community, whether it's people looking for plant suppliers or product suppliers, but, you know, taking the time to really invest in figuring it out and doing the work, spending the hours to figure it out and not expecting these people who have done that to just hand you a business. I mean, it's amazing that you're giving all of this free advice on this podcast. You know, you don't have to do that. You don't have to tell us what you design in because you've figured out what works for you. So I appreciate you saying that. And it sounds like that's what you've used. So you've Googled, researched, found, and cultivated relationships with these suppliers. And then what does ordering samples look like?
So normally the samples that I would order are like blanks or like things that they would have on hand. So they would be like previous products or projects that they've worked on, and they'll send me examples to show me like the different styles, et cetera. For the shirts and the sweatshirts, like I went through like a wholesale supply chain and I just like ordered a ton. Like I found companies that the materials and the company values resonated with who I wanted to work with, who I wanted to support. And then I just ordered, paid out of pocket, and then I just tested it personally. Like I wore the clothing to make sure it wouldn't pill quickly. And I made sure it was soft and it like held up under wash and like things like that, like product testing yourself before you just like push it out to market. Because the last thing you want to do is to, for example, like get a shirt and then have it printed and then sell it to a bunch of people. And then all of a sudden they're coming back to you and they're like, it completely disintegrated in the washing machine. And you're just like, you have to stand behind your brand and your company and your products. And that's why I do so much research and development. And that's why like I have so many different products and projects in the hopper at any given time, because it's all a part of like the timeline of like discovering what works and what doesn't. And I think it's a really good reminder for people to like, if a company and their quality changes, feel free to leave them and find someone who lives up to your standards. Like don't have loyalty hold you back.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I learned that lesson the hard way with Bloom and Grow merch years back. But yeah, that's so interesting. So you get the samples. And then once you've decided, yep, this is awesome, I want to move forward, how do you figure out how many to order? Because that's a huge investment upfront with products.
Yeah, absolutely. Because what's another really funny story is like we were struggling so hard that like when we decided to become an LLC in my business, when I decided to become an LLC, like it was like a $350 like licensing fee.
Yeah.
And it was so much money at that time because I was like, that was my profit for a month, which I mean, like it's, yeah. But I mean, like it was the right move to make. And I said, like, this is what I need to do to move forward. And that's exactly what happens with the inventory too. Like you can do smaller runs with inventory and then understand that your cost per piece will be really high, but it's all a part of the investment process. Like the idea of like paying fees on websites, that's a part of the investing in your business process. So you could do pre-orders for everything. I do it for clothing to minimize fashion waste, but with like pins and keychains, I just trust my instincts. Like if I feel like it's going to be something that will resonate with people, like I'll go all in and I'll order like 1,000 of something or like 5,000 of something, just like with the hopes that it will do well. But understand that if it doesn't, that was a risk I was willing to take.
And is there a standard profit margin that product-based companies use saying, okay, if I buy this for $5, I'm going to sell it for $20? Like how does that, just because I personally have no idea, is that something I can ask?
Yeah, of course. So depending on the category, their profit margins differ pretty wildly. So I know with food products, their profit margins are usually higher than products, but also skincare usually have higher profit margins because of spoilage has to be factored into it. Mm. So with products, you usually want to do a 4-time markup. And the reason why it's 4 times is that you do a 2-time markup for wholesale and then wholesale will sell it at 50% profit.
Okay. So, and you have two different types of revenue you make. You sell direct to consumers, which is when I, last month, I went on hemleva.com and I bought a new fancy philodendron pink princess keychain, your pin hanger that I'm obsessed with that I've recently put all my pins on, and a couple of other things. But then you also sell your pins in bulk to a Folia collective or a nursery that wants to carry your stuff. So you're saying that the pricing, that wholesale pricing to those companies looks different than what I'm paying.
Yes, exactly. It's because they'll order a larger quantity. Usually you'll have a minimum order quantity, and then they're investing in that product. So it's like the idea of you investing in a product to have it manufactured, they're investing in your product that it'll do well in their store. So that's why they have 50% markup. A lot of really small shops will work in consignment. I have found that that does not work for me in my business, just because
it's a lot of tracking.
It is. And following up, and I run personally, I built all my websites and I run all of them myself. So when someone has a customer service email, they're emailing me. And when someone orders something like you did, I'm the one that's packing it up. And when someone orders a pin pendant like you did, I'm the one that sews it up. This is such a small business that the idea of staying on top of other businesses to make with inventory checks with consignment, that was just unsustainable to me, because last December I hit over 400 retail partners and they're all on wholesale model. And if even half of them were consignment, I feel like being an accounting department would be my full-time job.
100%. And that's important. And I did that last year with Bloom and Grow. I had to evaluate all the different ways I was making money. And I actually cut several programs that I had running because it just wasn't sustainable. It wasn't doing it. It was stressing me out more than it was supporting, Bloom and Grow Radio. And I do think as you grow and as you scale a business, that streamlining, which you've actually mentioned a couple of times in this conversation, figuring out what's really working for you and then doubling down on that and not being afraid of cutting a couple of businesses that are only going to sell you consignment, because there's 100 more businesses that want to sign up for your actual retail program, and just trusting that you've got to make those right decisions and sticking there, even if it's scary at some points, I think is a really great point to make. Let's talk about, because we're talking a little bit about profit. I really respect your commitment to generosity and activism and giving back. So can you walk our audience through how you've kind of built and structured, the way that you're using your business to give back in different ways?
Thank you so much for asking this. So I have several products that are called Shop with Purpose, and either a portion of the proceeds or up to 100% to 200% of the proceeds will be donated to a rotating organization. Here's one tip that I want everyone to hear, is that if someone works for a larger company, make sure that if they offer any type of donation matching, that you absolutely take advantage of it. Because so Andy works for Boeing and they have up to a certain dollar amount of donation matching. So that's how, for products, I was able to donate all of my profits and then match it. So that's how I was able to donate 200% from products. So last year I donated to, I think, a total of 9 different organizations. I have it all listed on my website, and I make sure that they're companies that are good stewards with their money. And I use a program called Charity Navigator to make sure they investigate organizations and kind of track their spending to make sure they're being good fiduciary stewards. So last year we were able to donate $17,000 to organizations that we are passionate about. And it feels good to be able to do that, knowing that this company started with $100. That was a stretch. It was a stretch. And this year I've actually joined 1% for the Planet. Are you familiar with this organization?
Mm-hmm. Let us know in case listeners aren't familiar with it. Yeah.
Of course. So I'm on their website right now. So 1% for the Planet is a global movement inspiring businesses and individuals to support environmental solutions through annual memberships and everyday actions. They advise on giving strategies, certify donations, and amplify the impact of our network. And then, so 1% of all sales, so that's not profit, but that's all sales, will be donated towards conservation efforts. And they have a list of organizations that they recommend. So I'll be donating to that this year. And then if we can match, of course, we're going to.
I think too, from an energetic standpoint, if you're giving it's telling the universe that you have enough to give and you're ready. It's that reciprocity that I think is really important and really beautiful. And I really admire that about the way you run your business. So thank you for sharing. I hope you inspire a lot of other product-based companies to do the same. So it sounds like this year you're committing to 1%, but it's interesting that you kind of took the model of dedicating certain products that kind of had that mission in previous years. And as you grow, those things change, right? Like what you're, you know, what you can give and how you give can also like ebb and flow. So I think that's really awesome. Now, one other question. So how long have we been talking? A long time. We need to get into the nitty-gritty of this collaboration that we're talking about. But before that, I was shocked to find out when we started getting to know each other that you're a one-woman show. I was shocked by your brand, by your presence on social media, by the products and your website. I assumed that you had a whole team working for you. And lo and behold, I find out that it's just Samantha packaging every single order, writing the names to every single person, doing literally everything. So I think that's the case for so many of us, right? Like we're all one-woman shows when we start out. It can be so overwhelming. So let's talk about work-life balance for a quick moment and how you manage it. So what does your work-life balance look like, or what are you striving for?
There are a couple, I have a lot of strong feelings about work-life balance. The first strong feeling I have is that it's a myth. The idea that you can completely divide your brain and your emotions and your life into like two separate like cells of life. And it's not just with like entrepreneurs like you and I, like it's also with like my husband, like he thinks about work when he leaves work, like he'll like come up and he'll be like, you will not believe what happened to me today. And it's like, mm-hmm. It's an anecdote from work. So the idea like leaving it all behind, I feel like that's a myth that we're all trying to achieve or attain. And I feel like because it is a myth, it is something that will lead to like letdown. People feel like there should be this hard division, but in reality, like that's just like a blurred line. But like finding the right balance for you is what's important. So like finding where like you need to rest and where like where you need to work. Like when, like I'm sure you've experienced this too, where it's like when you're up against a deadline, like you are, any like form of self-care is just thrown out the window. You're like, you're hitting this deadline. Like,
yep, there's no option.
And I'm sure this happened with our collaboration. Yeah. You're just like, they gave me a hard deadline. I will be meeting it. And I will not be sleeping. There was one during our collaboration, there was one time when like I was working on our collaboration so hard that like Andy would just appear with a plate of food and then just like come back later to remove it. And the thing is, I wouldn't even look up to take the food from it. I would just like start eating like as it was like put in front of my face as I'm working on our collaboration. And it was just like, when you're hit against those moments, like you can't say like, no, this is me time.
I need to do a face mask. Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I need to go for a massage right now.
I think it's important actually also understanding the cycles and the seasons of that, right? So if you just had a crazy deadline that you had to hit, you've got to give yourself some time to recuperate at some point after. You know, I remember in December, you had just had all of your crazy events and you were pulling all-nighters left and right. I was like worried for you. Every time we had an email exchange, you were like, I just pulled an all-nighter, but I think I'll be en route to an airport and I could talk to you for this hour if you needed. And I was like, oh my gosh, Samantha, like we can push the conversation.
I know, because you're in East Coast time and I was pulling these all-nighters. I was like, I am still awake right now. We can talk. I am totally alert.
And I'm like, it is 2 a.m. right now. But yeah, so I think that is interesting. Something about you though, also that I learned that I've actually taken a lot of inspiration from is you really honor your circadian rhythms too, in terms of you get up later and you work late, knowing that your zone of genius is late at night. And I think I've actually changed my work schedule after talking with you. So do you want to talk about kind of how you figured out like the workflow that works for you?
Oh yeah, of course. So I have like a shifted schedule, which is, it's just harder to work with people on the East Coast because yes. of my schedule. So I appreciate your patience with this, but like, I usually start my day around like 9 or 10 AM. Sometimes even later, if I have like a crush of orders that I want to push out really, before the USPS Manny shows up. So when that happens, I sleep in later. And it's just like, I always have a bare minimum of like 4 hours of sleep. I thrive around 6 to 7 hours of sleep. And that's another point. Like, we are all individual. So the idea of getting the right amount of sleep for you is important. Like, you shouldn't force yourself or feel guilty about not getting an X number of sleep, because you may not need it to fully function. But if you find yourself dragging, like, I am a big fan of naps. I was telling a friend of mine, I was like, I will take like an hour nap if I need to, like in the middle of the day. Usually it happens around like 6 or 7 PM where like, I just like get crashed really hard because I'm working from like 10 AM until 6 PM, like on email, social media, and like, just like back end stuff. And then I'll crash for about an hour and then like have dinner, and then I'll work from, let's say, like 8 p.m. until like 2 a.m. where I'm like doing order fulfillment and just like more back end stuff.
Do you take weekends off?
I've been taking half days on weekends off. And that's mostly because my husband and I are renovating my office. We're converting it right now. So we just ripped up the carpet and the carpet pad, and we're going to be putting down the underlayment this weekend and the heat mats, because we're going to put in heated floors, which we're very excited about.
Nice.
Yeah. But we did hire someone for the electrical work. Definitely recommend that. Get your permits when it has to do with electricity. I found that one thing that I do that like totally focus, like forces me to focus on the present, is baking. And it's because you have to follow the instructions or you will mess up, because baking is a science. And I found that it's one of my positive reward hobbies, because like afterwards you're left with something delicious to either eat yourself or to give to people you care about.
You just sent me a bag of cookies and they are so freaking good. I ate the whole bag in like 3 days, and I had to hide them from Billy because Billy was sneaking the cookies. And I was like, those are my special Samantha cookies. You can have two and then I will be eating the rest.
I'm really happy you like them.
Not that I have a weird hang up about cookies or food or anything.
You're totally fine. Like, the first day I made those cookies, I ate like four in like the first day. And I was like, oh God, these are good. And it's like the balance of salty and sweet, which is really nice. So like, if I do an in-person event and it's like a safe environment, I would love to like bring baked goods just for like people, because it is a way for me to like decompress, but also to like share my like joy, something that I love to do with other people. So
very similar to plant cuttings, right? I think Billy, my husband, is a really avid baker, and he has so much joy giving someone a loaf of bread, man. He bakes those loaves of bread with so much love. And it's, I see that in him, what I get when I give someone a plant cutting or a plant, because it's sharing a part of yourself and it's sharing a part of your passion. So I totally get that. I absolutely love that.
Maria, so since we're talking about self-care and joy has come up a lot with our talk today, would you like to share about our collaboration?
Yes, Samantha, I've only been waiting like 2 years to freaking talk about this. And I'm so excited that you're here and that we've decided to kind of roll this out together. So some podcast listeners might have gotten a hint if you listened to the end of my year end episode in December. But Plant Friends, I get to finally announce to our community that I wrote a book. Yay. So I wrote a book. It's been a 2-year process, and Samantha illustrated it. Yay.
It has been so much fun working with you on this, and like to like see or like hear your vision and just to be a part of like your journey with this. It has been a lot of fun getting to know you.
Oh my
God. I'm so proud of you.
Well, I have to say, Samantha, I mean, I was kind of totally starstruck. So the book is called Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness and Plants. And it's actually a self-care book. So it's not a gardening book. There is a plant care appendix in the back that Leslie Halleck was my horticulture advisor on. It's a fantastic plant care section, but the whole book itself is all about my journey figuring out how to use plant care as a self-care and self-development tool. I got the opportunity to work on the book. I was approached to write this book in May of 2020. So I've literally been working on this thing for almost 2 years. And the minute that I started talking to my editor about this book, I was like, I got this intuitive hit. I was meditating, and I got, because in the beginning of the creation of this book and evaluating if I even wanted to write it, I did a lot of meditating to try and figure out like what it would be, because this editor just approached me to see if I thought I would be interested in writing about self-care and plant care. And I got this intuitive hit that I was like, oh my God, if I could get Samantha from Hemleva to illustrate this book, it would be so epic. You were the first person I thought of. But I also was like, yeah, but Samantha's a really big dog in the plant space now. She's got so many followers on Instagram. I know that she's so busy. She's doing so many collaborations. Because at that point, you had also started doing a lot of collaborations and announcing them. And you were collaborating with these really big, fancy people. And I was like, I remember having a talk with my editor about it, being like, I really don't think Samantha's going to be able to say yes, but I really want to ask her. I really want to see. So like before... Usually a publisher goes and finds the illustrator without your input. And I doubled down and was like, no, I really want to see if this could work. So just give me a couple of weeks to see if this could work. I'm going to reach out to her. It's a crazy idea, but like maybe it'll happen. And we pulled up the email before we started this interview, but it was January 15th, 2021. So over a year ago, where I shot you this like sheepish email being like, hey, Samantha, I have a potential collaboration that I would like to talk to you about. Would you be open to it?
Yes. I'm so glad that you did. I was like so caught off guard. I was like, what do you mean? This is such a new concept to me. And it was a journey for both of us, like you writing your first book and navigating all of that and me illustrating my first book. So it was like I'm really happy that we could grow together.
Yeah. Totally. I do feel like
no
this
pun
is
intended,
grow together, baby. I do feel like this is the little book that could, in terms of it's my editor's like first major book. It's my first major book. It's your first major book. My editor, shout out Gwen. She's a listener of the podcast. She's been in the publishing industry forever and has kind of guided us through. But I've talked to so many authors who warn you about the traditional publishing process because they're like, you're going to hate your cover. You're going to hate the book after you get it edited. Like the process is going to make you not like the book and like not be excited about it. And I have had the polar opposite experience. I feel like I'm obsessed with my editor. I felt like I've had such a collaborative relationship with her. I got you to illustrate it. You have elevated this book with your illustrations. The cover that you designed, which I really do feel like was a really collaborative experience for the two of us in terms of I had this idea, I pitched you on it. We really, the book, the cover really had several versions of itself. It really grew. But yeah, like I'm so proud of it. You know, I'm so proud of the book. I'm so excited to finally bring it to people. I'm so excited to finally talk about it because it's the weirdest thing to be working on this. And in 2022, I feel like I was so absent because I was writing for 8 hours a day, right? And I'm just so excited to celebrate this and be able to have you as a partner to celebrate it. So we're going to do an Instagram Live series. So everyone needs to go follow both me and Samantha because we're doing an Instagram Live series. We're going to show up every other week until the pub date of the book, which is June 7th. And we're going to do the making of Growing Joy. And each week, Samantha and I are going to do like a quick half an hour live where we talk about a different aspect of creating the book. So one day I'll interview Samantha on her illustration process. Another day, Samantha is going to interview me on the process of actually securing the book deal and getting started. One day we'll talk about, you know, we'll have more of a conversation about our collaboration. So if you want like the details on what it's taken us to get this thing to print, go follow us on Instagram. But I do just want to like ask, just so people can kind of hear a little bit more, Samantha, like what has your overall experience been illustrating your first book? Like, how did it feel? I know you just got a sample copy of it in the mail. Like, how did it feel for you to see your illustration on a book cover?
It was wild. Well, it was actually a really funny story of it when I actually did receive it. It was covered in ants. And I was like, what did they douse this in? Because I was like, did they put like plants in here? Did they put seeds in here? Is there something? But because I've been keeping this so close to the chest, it was just like to see something you worked on for like a year, like exists like in your hands, and to know that it's going to be in bookstores and plant shops and like wherever else we can dream up. Like we want these in like botanic gardens. We want like this book is very unique because it isn't like how to like style plants, but there is some plant care like aspect to it, but it's also like a focus on like Maria growing over like 2 years. It's actually, so when we were we're going back and forth on the book. I love the journey that you took with it, because there were parts where you called Billy your boyfriend and then your fiance, and then now he's your husband.
Yeah.
Like through the course of writing this book, like seeing the early editions. And it's just like you, I mean, the book is called Growing Joy, but it's like growing Maria, just like who you have like become through this. And I'm really excited to, like with these IGTVs, like tell people like about the process, because if you were to Google, like, how do you get like a book deal, or like, how do you like illustrate for a book? Like there's really nothing out there. So I'm hoping this will be like a way to like share about our journey and like our process and a little bit more about us along the way.
Oh my God, Samantha did such a good job. And it was really interesting, the whole process of picking what aspects, you know, cause we only could have so many illustrations. So what aspects make the cut? What illustrations make the cut? For me, the evolution of the cover was like the most eye-opening experience, because I have no eye for design. So I also really had to lean on you for the design process, because like, to me, this has always been a huge Achilles heel of mine. Like, I just really don't have an eye for design. I really don't see, I really don't see aesthetic very well. It's just never been my gift. And you have such a curated vision and such experience, obviously a depth of knowledge. And so I really got to lean on you too, like for your feedback and your thoughts, and how also watching your illustration in the process, like the way that you illustrated the book kind of changed in our collaborative process as well. Like you tried a couple of different techniques and kind of brought these new ideas to the illustrations. And it's just, it's so fun. I mean, it's such a fun, it's a really fun book. Like you said, it is a lot of personal stories, but it's a lot of practices. It's a lot of practices that anybody reading, no matter what state, no matter what level of plant parenthood you're in, different ways that you can use plants to cultivate more joy and presence in your life, and just revel in Samantha's gorgeous freaking illustrations. And even more exciting is that Samantha has elevated the illustrations and is making an entire Growing Joy line at Hemleva. Can you give us a sneak peek into that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, I want to share for IGTV and like,
yes, for sure.
I don't want to spoil everything, but like it has been so nice to talk to another human being about the design process, because even though you say you don't have an eye for design, like your feedback has been so helpful. So I'm really happy to like, there are going to be like some new products, some things that like we both have envisioned from the very beginning, like even before like the publish.
Oh yeah.
Like it was done. We were like talking about merchandise last year.
Oh yeah. I know. I was like, Samantha, there's merch. You'll be able to do merch. Like, let's do this. Yeah. Your concepts are so exciting. I'm so excited to bring them to market with you and share them. I can't wait for this cover. Is iconic, plant friends. It's a heart that's filled with plants. It's probably the most joyful thing I've ever seen. Samantha did the most amazing job. I've had from the beginning, I've had this idea of this heart filled with plants. Wait, we're not going to dive into this now, because we're going to talk about it on the IG. But anyway, I cannot wait for the products that Samantha is going to make with this heart shaped, because it's so iconic and so gorgeous. Okay. So we're celebrating the launch of announcing Growing Joy to the world, pre-sale orders going in, the announcement of our collaboration. We're celebrating in a bunch of really fun ways that we want to tell you guys about. Okay. Plant friends, including some giveaways. So number one, go follow both of us on Instagram, Hemleva and Bloom and Grow Maria, because we are going to be doing this Instagram live series that we talked about. It's going to be super fun. I can't wait for it to just spill the tea. And we're going to spill the tea. We're going to really dive into it. But number two, we're going to do some giveaways to celebrate our launch. So now these giveaways are really special, because number one, whoever wins the giveaways are going to get an advanced copy of the book. So you're not just getting the book, you're going to get to read it before everyone else gets it, which is really exciting. You're going to get some form of the Growing Joy Hemleva Bloom and Grow Radio merch line, which is to be determined, but will be determined by the time this episode airs. So four lucky winners are going to be chosen in the next week between me and Samantha. So Samantha, do you want to break down? We're doing kind of two separate giveaways. So there's four winners in two different ways. So do you want to break down what our giveaways are going to be, or how people can win?
Yes. So if you're signed up for our newsletters, you are enter to win. That is like easy peasy. Like if you are already signed up for our newsletter, then we're going to be choosing from our newsletter subscribers. You can definitely go and sign up right now. We're going to give it about a week before we pick our winner so that everyone has a chance to listen to our podcast together.
Yes.
And then the second way that you win, which is like pretty immediate, is go to our in-feed Instagram post that talks about this podcast and tell us your favorite plant. That's it.
That's it.
That's all you have to do. Oh, I mean, follow us.
Oh yeah. Also. Yeah. So you have to follow us. So exactly what Samantha said. So we're running this giveaway through Tuesday. This episode comes out on Tuesday, the 22nd. We're running the giveaway until Tuesday, the 29th. So you have a week to join both of our newsletters. And Samantha and I are going to pick one of our newsletter subscribers to get this sweet package. And then you also have a week to follow both of us on Instagram and comment your favorite plant on one of our posts that the post that we talk about the podcast episode. Just do it all, honestly. And then you get double the chances of winning. So for the next week, join the newsletter and comment your favorite plant on our Instagram posts. And we can't wait to send these books to you and this really cool merch that Samantha's developing. I'm really excited.
I know. I can't wait to hear what people have to say about the book. Like, I'm really looking forward to reading everyone's reviews. Like, I don't want to spoil the book, but I was like, I keep coming up with examples that I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Give a sneak peek. You can leave them with a juicy sneak peek.
I love your section about aromatherapy and like scent memories and like essential oils and
plants that smell beautiful.
Yes. And then there's also like, I learned in this book about like hinoki wood and the essential oil. And I think that's one of those things that was really stuck with me because I've seen hinoki wood products since then. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, there's so much more to this product because, and I learned about it because of Maria. You should be so proud of yourself.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I did my research, plant friends. I did a lot of research and a lot of product testing and yeah, hinoki oil. Hinoki is a Japanese tree that has tons of medicinal benefits that have been proven. And I talk about it and a certain plant scientist in Japan that I'm obsessed with, but you'll have to read the book to hear about my plant nerd crush, Dr. King Lee, because I talk about him a lot. So those are your opportunities to get the book. Samantha, it's been so fun talking with you. And the most important thing we have to ask everyone is to pre-order the book. Because if you're listening to this episode, it probably means that you're a diehard fan of either Samantha or me, or maybe both. And we want this book to reach millions. I have a chant that I've been chanting to Samantha for over a year. And it's, my book changes millions of lives for the better, making me a New York Times number one bestseller. My book changes millions of lives for the better, making me a New York Times number one bestseller. And if you guys could help us, that would be great. Pre-ordering the book at whatever shop you feel comfortable with. We're going to put a link in the show notes, but pre-ordering the book like signals to these booksellers and book providers that Growing Joy is the real deal and that there's a market demand for it. So if you pre-order the book, that's a huge way to support both of us in the quest to reach millions and help everyone care for plants successfully and cultivate joy in their lives. So thank you in advance. And there's one link that'll direct you to all of the different ways that you can purchase the book. So go for it. And if you pre-order it and then feel inclined, Samantha had mentioned reviews of books on whatever, you know, place you order them also go a huge way for other people to buy as well. So thanks for your support. I truly can't wait for you guys to read the books. It's really my heart and soul, kind of like Samantha said, like I really did pour my heart and soul into it. There's a lot of vulnerability, a lot of sides of myself that I haven't shown on this podcast. Because most of the time the podcast is about whoever I'm interviewing and I get to get really raw and vulnerable and share my whole kind of journey, the good and the bad, and how I've really used plants to cope with some really interesting times in my life. So I'm so excited. I'm so excited, Samantha. We're finally announcing it.
Oh, when you were just talking about it, I was reminded of a section of your book about when you were touring and how plants helped you as an individual, but also helped you make connections with people. And You guys, you have to read this book. It's lovely.
That section is called Sisterhood of the Traveling Plants. It's a recollection of 2019 and all of the different plants that I shared when I was on tour with Cats the Musical, all the different plants I received and all the different connections that plants created for me in that year. And yeah. Oh, that means a lot that you brought that up. That's like probably one of my favorite parts of the book is getting to kind of pay tribute to all these, this network of plant friends that I have around the world. So pre-order the book, do our giveaways, join our newsletters, keep following us on Instagram because we have a lot of fun stuff planned through the launch date of this book, which is June 7th. So we've got giveaways, we've got IG lives, we've got other surprise things that we're not even talking about on this podcast because I really just want to make this book launch like the funnest thing ever. And you've really been on board to just like really be really fun, like make this really fun.
Let's make it a party.
Yeah. Like joyful. Celebrate. Let's make it joyful. Right. Cause we're growing joy, baby. One plant at a time. But Samantha, just to wrap up, you're amazing. I'm so thankful that you're my partner. You have done the most amazing illustrations for this book. And also you have built such an amazing business with such integrity. Your integrity continues to blow me away. You've really shown me what integrity looks like in the process of this book creation and a bunch of like conversations that maybe we'll share in the IG Live series. And maybe we won't because there's been a lot of growing pains that we've both experienced in this book creation process. And what you've built is so admirable. And as a woman in this space, and you're really just the real deal. And I'm really lucky to call you my friend and my collaborator on this project. So everyone go check out Hemleva, buy those pins. I love my new keychain. I absolutely love my new keychain. Yeah. And you're amazing. And my sun catcher too. So thank you so much for sharing so much about your business and how it works in this Plantrepreneur profile. And hopefully you guys will get to know me and Samantha even better on our IG Live series.
Yay. Thank you so much, Maria. Thank you for having me. And thank you for asking me to do this project with you.
Oh my God. Thank you for saying yes.
It has been a true joy getting to know you.
You too. A true joy growing together. Okay, plant friends, that's the big announcement. If you were paying attention at the end of December 2021, you might already know this, but if you don't, I'm so excited to finally share this big news. Like I said in the conversation with Samantha, I really did pour my heart and soul into growing joy. If in 2021 I felt a little more absent or a little more strung out in this podcast and on socials, it's because in addition to managing all of the Bloom and Grow content that I was creating, in addition to getting married and moving 3 times, I also was figuring out how to write my first book, Plant Friends. When you get a book, they give you your book deal and then they say, we'll see you in 3 months. Give us a book. So there was a learning curve there for me. But I'm so excited to share it with you. Make sure you take advantage of these giveaways Samantha and I are doing. It's going to be one of a kind, right? You're going to be some of the first people in the entire world to see Growing Joy and be able to read it and get a whole bunch of goodies there too. So enter those giveaways by entering Samantha and my newsletters by next Tuesday. And please, pretty please, pre-order the book. It would so help with book sales. Also, I would love for you to read it because it's real cute. It's super nice. It's beautifully designed. Samantha's illustrations are amazing. I have so many fun stories and also practices and a plant care appendix in the book. I would love for you to read it and hear what you think. Links to everything, the book, our newsletters, all of it are in the show notes. Thank you so much, plant friends. It's this community of listeners that have even created the opportunity for me to write a book. I am so excited to bring you along for the journey in the next couple of months before it's published in June. And we have so many fun ways to celebrate this big, fun thing in addition to the Bloom and Grow media and world. So until next time, my sweet plant friends, keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friend, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure that you're subscribed to the show on your preferred podcast player so you never miss an episode. And while you're there subscribing, if you wouldn't mind clicking over to the review section and leaving us a review, that would be tremendous. Reviews are so helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thank you so much in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Bloom and Grow content, we have so many fun options for you that I want to tell you about. First off, there is the free Bloom and Grow Plant Parent Personality Test.
It's free, it's super fun, and it only takes 3 minutes to complete. You take the test and you get your plant parent personality profile. And with that, you get a list of your strengths and weaknesses as a plant parent. And most importantly, my curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are perfectly suited for you and your planty interests based on your results. The test lives at bloomandgrowradio.com/personality and can always be found in the show notes of this episode. Okay, plant friends, here's the really good stuff. If you are looking to really grow and up-level your plant parent skills this year, I cordially and proudly invite you to join the Bloom and Grow Virtual Garden Society, rooted in high-quality education and plant community. Plant friends, this is not your grandma's garden society. It's virtual and therefore connects you with plant friends around the world, accessed via our proprietary garden party platform and app, and has the best educational and community-based content and resources available to anyone. When you join, you get immediate access to the entire Bloom and Grow Garden Party platform and app, which is our exclusive space, off social media, algorithm-free, troll-free, with tons of amazing ways to meet other plant parents like you, like regional groups, daily conversation prompts, and even a plant swap space, which is pretty cool. And in addition to that, you get all of the exclusive premium society content, which is 3 monthly live calls with myself and our horticulturist in residence and beloved Bloom and Grow Radio guest, Leslie Halleck, all in the interest of helping you grow. Leslie hosts monthly Node of Knowledge plant science lectures and monthly office hours, which we call AHAs or Ask Our Horticulturist Anythings, where you can troubleshoot your personal plant collection problems with her. Think about that. You have access to a horticulturist to troubleshoot your personal plant care issues. So amazing. And then I host monthly Growing Joy calls for community development and to explore the plant care, self-care aspect of plant parenthood. Plus, when you join, you not only get access to the upcoming live calls, but you get full access to all of the replays of previous calls and lectures, like The Science of Plant Dormancy or Grow Lights 101 and beyond. So you can binge your way to your best year yet of plant parenthood. Please come join us. We're having so much fun. Learn more by clicking the link in the show notes or visiting jointhegardensociety.com. For anything else, plant friend, I'm here for you. Feel free to drop me a line when you have an idea for an episode, an event, or even if you're a planty business interested in sponsoring the show. And of course, follow me on Instagram and TikTok for daily planty silliness, musings, and behind-the-scenes podcast content. Thank you again for listening to Bloom and Grow Radio. It is my true honor and delight to always help you keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friends, propagate knowledge and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, plant friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan.
Hey
Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.